Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 45, verses 4 through 28. The Reverend Brian Heller is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 45. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry, and go up to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, and do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen. You shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you. But there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. And when the report was heard in Pharaoh's house, 'Joseph's brothers have come,' it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Say to your brothers, do this: load your beasts and go back to the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. And you, Joseph, are commanded to say, do this: take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Have no concern for your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours.' The sons of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons, according to the command of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for their journey. To each and all of them he gave a change of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes. To his father he sent as follows: 10 donkeys, loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and provision for his father on the journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, 'Do not quarrel on the way.' So they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And they told him, 'Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt.' And his heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, 'It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die.' O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come near to me, please. If you were one of Joseph's brothers, these would be the absolute last words you'd expect to hear at this part of the story. I mean, think about it. The person that you rejected, betrayed, sold out, abandoned, is now the guy that will determine your fate when this unprecedented famine has inflicted the entire land. He is the one now holding the food, riches, indeed, their very lives. But here with Joseph, these sons of Israel find the words that they least expected to hear. These words that they themselves probably would not even consider saying if the roles were reversed. Instead of an eye for an eye, instead of Joseph realizing what was going on, calling up Pharaoh and saying, "You know what these brothers did to me," and ruining their reputations amongst the Egyptians, Joseph instead does something quite surprising. He does something that breaks every one of our expectations about how these jealous, sinful brothers should be dealt with. He gently invites his brothers, "Come near to me," and even tacks on that little Hebrew word, "na," which means, as the English Standard Version translated, "please," or "I pray." Talk about a twist in the story, especially after everything that Joseph had suffered at the hands of these brothers. So when it comes to Joseph and considering the treatments, the sufferings, and how he deals with these brothers, we like this story, don't we? Because in this account is the way we want things to turn out for us, if we're Joseph, that is. Joseph has endured innocent suffering, and that suffering ended up working out for him in the end. Indeed, Joseph even confesses that it was by God that all these things happened. But the truth is, innocent suffering, like what Joseph experiences, is not common in our world and is not common to us. But this is exactly the reason why we like these accounts. Because when we look at Joseph and everything he's been through and the place where he's gotten to, father of Pharaoh, none of the stuff that happened to him and really was his fault, was it? He hasn't really done anything that wrong. This is the same reason why we all like to talk about Job than about King David when it comes to suffering. Because with Job, again, that's another picture of this innocent suffering. And again, everything works out in the end. But with David, there are consequences to pay. And the suffering that David endures lasts beyond him, generation after generation. And so we see the same thing will happen with these sons of Israel and the subsequent suffering that Israel faces throughout the Old Testament. These brothers are not these such innocent sufferings as they endured this famine, are they? Let's face it, do we really feel sorry for them in their pitiful state, as we may have when Joseph was thrown in prison and forgot about? Yes, we love the irony. The guys that betrayed and sold their own brother into slavery now depend on him for their very lives. Talk about poetic justice. Come on, Joseph, you have now tricked your brothers. You have framed Benjamin. Bring it on home and throw them into prison. And toss away the key. Show them what true justice is. Yet, of course, we know this is not how the story goes. When it comes to justice, consider justice within your own lives. Consider your own sin, your own standing before God. If we are honest with ourselves this morning, our lives really have been more in line with those traitorous brothers than with the innocent Joseph. And while we're being honest, let's face it, Satan has no shortage of accusations to throw at us. Think about how many times we've disregarded God. Think about how many times we've sold him out in conversations with our friends. Didn't we promise to be faithful to God and our confirmation vows unto death rather than fall away? But oftentimes we won't even suffer some discomfort by speaking the truth of God at the Thanksgiving dinner table. We aren't innocent sufferers like Joseph or Job. All of us, in our own lives, in our own ways, in our own sin, have betrayed Christ, and we have sold him out for things a lot less than 20 shekels of silver, as the brothers did with Joseph. And so Satan accuses us. God is certainly the last person on earth that will offer you forgiveness and redemption. And so we hear these accusations. We realize that we're out of our league. Nothing we do will be able to save us from this mess. And the stakes are so much higher than what we read with Joseph and his brothers. Because we're not talking about a famine of food, we're talking about a famine of our very lives and souls. We're talking about eternal death and damnation. And like Joseph's brothers, we realize that we are utterly helpless. We need someone to come in and rescue us. We need someone to come in and make all of our wrongs right. We need someone greater than Joseph, one who will deliver us from sin, death, and Satan himself. And so Christ comes. He comes to be sold out, betrayed, and killed instead of you and instead of me. He comes to die so that we may have life and have it abundantly. And in his glorious resurrection, Christ gives us his very victory. And what's more, he doesn't stop there. Yes, we read that Jacob and his sons get all the best of the land of Egypt from Pharaoh, but you get so much more from your Father in heaven. You receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And these things aren't just abstract things. These are very real gifts given to you, his very real and dear children. Christ draws you near to him as he baptizes you into his own divine name and gives you his very body and blood and his holy supper to eat and to drink week after week. He gives you a home, a family, and the promise that you will live with him forever. So this morning, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, all of us know all too well that bad things will still happen to us in this world. We will experience sufferings in this world, like David and like these sons of Israel. Yet, in these times, especially in these times, cling to God's promises, as the sons of Israel did when Joseph proclaimed his forgiveness to them. And they went and immediately ran and told their dad the good news. There was not a single doubt in their mind that Joseph's words to them were true. Confess that God is faithful. As Dr. Martin Luther writes, with God we can lose nothing when we believe, and every loss is a hundredfold gain. Be comforted this morning. No matter what happens to you in this life, no matter what you may lose, wealth, possessions, friends, family, you have the gift of eternal life in Christ. You have truly been given a hundredfold gain. God will see that you, his dear wandering lamb, are preserved on this earth and kept in his holy, precious flock. Whether you are in feast or famine, good times or poor, sickness or health, be assured today that Christ does indeed give you every good gift, and he will indeed preserve your life in this world and the world to come. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may a peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.